Welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I am joined by Casey Liss from Analog and Alex Cox from Robism to talk about what we want to see in tech for 2020. Casey, how are you?
I am stupendous. It is always a pleasure to talk to the both of you.
Stupendous is a strong adjective.
Mm-hmm. That's how excited I am about you two.
And Alex, how are you?
Losing my voice a little, so not I can't even say the word. I'm not on Casey's level, but I'm doing well otherwise.
We'll try to take it easy on you for this.
Thank you.
So I thought we could start with Apple and then maybe go beyond Apple and then wrap it up talking about personal tech goals, if it's something that we want to achieve this year in this realm. So Alex, let's start with you. What would you like to see out of Apple's year?
The main thing I want, and this is the tiniest thing, that it's like me or three other people want it so, so much, is to have squared off corners on the iPhone again. I want a soap phone. I don't want a soap phone anymore. Like, even when you're holding your phone in a case with the rounded edges, it's very difficult to hold. The iPhone 10, not the 10, and now up to the 11 Pro, it's not too bad because I've accepted that I need a case, but I was putting sandpaper on the back of the 6 and 6S because I was just in denial.
Wait, hang on. We got to explore that. Were you taping sandpaper to the back of your phone, or were you actually sanding the back of your phone?
I'm not a monster, Stephen. I was just taping
it. I don't know.
It.
You pulled apart an iPad on a live stream once, so I don't know what to think about you anymore.
I mean, it was for the kids. however, I'm still not satisfied with the current quality of Apple's leather cases, so I have taken sandpaper to the back of one of those to try to make it more grippy. But no, it just returns to its natural state. And I mean, like, with this patina, but those, I mean, if you want to have a nice case, go for Apple's leather ones, I guess. But if for, like, real tech stuff that I'm looking forward to for Apple, I know that AR glasses probably won't be this year, but that's kind of something that's always on the horizon. I sort of feel like it's 2004 again when we were waiting for the iPhone. Like, okay, few more years, and one day it'll finally drop. But in terms of realistic things, I'm just excited to have normal keyboard switches on a 13 or 14 inch laptop again.
Oh, amen. Absolutely.
Yeah, Casey, I think last time you were on Fusion, we talked about your laptop situation, and it hasn't changed, right? You're still using a partially broken MacBook?
It's not really partially broken. It's just fine. There's
intermittently broken.
No. I needed to reinstall macOS once. That's not that big a deal, right?
Oh, it's fine.
Yeah, it's no big deal. No, it works pretty well. Occasionally, I get double keystrokes or, you know, double letters sporadically. So it's like it's starting its very slow death. I think it hears me when I say I am just anxious to replace it with a 13 or perhaps 14 inch MacBook Pro with a new keyboard. But yeah, my laptop situation is okay. It's not great. This MacBook was bought at a time that I had a laptop, a MacBook Pro, issued from work, and really the MacBook was kind of just an iPad. It was the way I was treating it, like a super portable way to do iPad-ish things in a time when I wasn't really into the iPad. Then the iPad Pro came out, and suddenly I got very into the iPad again, and so the MacBook became my mobile computer, also because I left my traditional job and didn't have a MacBook Pro anymore, and it became my mobile computer, and when you're writing apps in Xcode, that's not fun for several different reasons. And so I'm super anxious, hopefully this year, to give Apple even more of my money to get a 13 or, like I said, perhaps 14 inch MacBook Pro. with a new keyboard. I echo also what Alex was saying about AR. I feel like this is a long wait for a train that maybe ain't coming. I mean, it's, I assume it's going to pull into the station at some point, but we've been waiting a while. And the funny thing about this is, as Alex was talking, I was thinking, you know, I don't really care about AR. It's whatever. I don't think it's really going to do much for me. And then I got to thinking, well, you said that about the iPhone. And then you said that about the iPad. And then you said that about the Apple Watch. All three of these things are like critical parts of my life today. So I almost wonder if me poo-pooing this in advance is even more, it should make me even more enthusiastic about it in the future, because it seems that anything I don't really understand, I end up loving. I mean, I vividly remember telling friends and family, no, I don't want to hold a brick up to my face. Why would I want a smartphone? That's preposterous. And turns out,
I mean, even on like MacBreak Weekly, there were many hosts, I believe, including my friend Merlin Mann, who are like, I mean, I have a Mac. What do I don't need to bring my Mac around with me. When I'm at my Mac, I like my Mac. And arguably, there are people who are still like that, but I am psyched. I know people, it's going to spur another wave of think pieces about how society's ruined. And I'm like, no, society mm-hmm. is messed up for so many reasons. Our nice little, just let us have our AR glasses. I really, really want them.
It is not surprising to me that one of the hosts of Roboism wants robotic glasses. this is very on brand for you. If you'll permit me to kind of continue on, I really want to see, and this is kind of an extension of what Alex said, I really want to see something of Apple's supposed future actually land. So what I mean by that is, you know, everyone's been saying, oh, AR is coming, AR is coming, AR is coming. Well, let's see it. Similarly, ARM Macs are coming, ARM Macs are coming, ARM Macs are coming. Okay, let's see it. And I don't know that either of these things are going to help or improve my life or interest me, although I bet both of them may. But I just want to see something land. I really want to see something that is at least slightly new. I'm not saying like a whole new paradigm like AR is quite necessary, but even just having ARM Macs would be extremely interesting. Whether or not they're for me, it'd be extremely interesting. And I really want to see Apple land something new. And the other thing I really want from Apple is software that actually works, which would be cool. That would be super nice. And as a software developer, I know how this game is played, and I've worked in small companies and big companies, and I know it's harder than any of us, including me, give them credit for. But man, this was a rough year for software quality, and I really want to upgrade to Catalina on my iMac Pro, but I refuse to because I feel like literally every week there's a new story about a new issue. Last week, MKBHD was seeing some of the cursor issues that I had seen on my old iMac. This week, Steve and you, amongst others, have been talking about the 5K display blinding you when the machine is restarted from sleep, if I'm not mistaken.
It's super exciting. It's like when they open the Ark of the Covenant, you know? It's like, oh!
I actually got that reference. Anyway, so I think that something new from Apple and or better software would be great. But Stephen, we haven't given you a chance to answer. What are you looking for from Apple this year or this decade?
I think you guys hit on the big ones. I would love to see an iPhone that inherits the iPad Pro design, because that iPad Pro
very much
looks so good. I would love to see a 13 or 14 inch MacBook Pro. They got to get rid of that keyboard. I'm a big size of the 14 inch, big fan of the 14 inch size. I think it's a really nice sort of middle ground. But the big one for me, Casey, is the last thing you said, is that the software quality on, I mean, iOS 13 isn't an easy example to pick on because it was so rough in the beginning, but there's like lots of just little things around the edges that just don't quite work the way they're supposed to. And I can't begin to imagine how big Apple's code base is for all of this stuff, right? Like, I know it's complicated, but there was a time where you could 100% rely on a new feature that Apple would roll out working from day one. And I feel like even things that aren't labeled as beta feel like betas. And that's not fantastic. So I do hope that they can button that down. I mean, we spoke about this in the wake of iOS 13. It feels clear to me that there is something going on with Apple's either quality control or the speed at which they move. It feels like there's some sort of fundamental issue they need to address. And hopefully iOS 13 was a wake-up call in that regard, and that they can make changes and apply those changes across the board. But that's going to be something that takes time, right? Like we're going to see a new iPhone this fall, but we may not see the results of any sort of internal software shift, even if one has happened. I'm assuming it has. That may be a while. And so I'm willing to play the long game on that, but like I shouldn't, like, so a thing I'm seeing on my Mac Pro right now is after the machine has been up for a while and I go to make a new tab in Safari, the, you know, usually that, like the, you know, the empty sort of window you see should be white. It's red for me. And then I'll reboot the machine and it stops. Like, why is that happening?
Oh my God.
Like, it's very upsetting. I should say, very upsetting. And, you know, I've tried turning off all my extensions in Safari and I can't quite, it's like, that should not be a thing that happens. And that's not a big deal. You know, it's a little frightening. And then I reboot my computer and it's fine for a few more days, but, and then the screen brightness is full tilt because I've rebooted my machine. Like that should not be a thing that I have to see as a Mac user. And it's those little, like little paper cuts, as John Gruber called it in his post the other night. Those little paper cuts really feel like they're adding up.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
It's interesting because for so long, I feel like everyone was waffling on what hardware to tell their family members to buy who weren't, you know, the super nerds. And we were just waiting for a MacBook Air or a phone like the iPhone 11. Hardware that's just, you know, once again, great for consumers. It's very easy to send someone to the store, get this. And we're at that place again, but now people are like, should I update to the new macOS? Should I update to the new iOS? And now iOS 13 is all right. But back in September, I for the first time was like, I'll let you get back to you on that one. Are we going to be in like a TikTok decade for hardware versus software now? It's really upsetting.
I sure hope not. Yeah, and you know, to bring us to a slightly happier topic, I also was thinking while you guys were talking, you know, speaking of the iPad Pro, we haven't seen iPad Pro revision since the original, is that right? A little over a year ago. And although I really like my iPad Pro and I really don't want a new one that I need to lust after, I also wouldn't mind seeing, you know, what is the V2, the second generation of the iPad Pro, and does that bring anything new and interesting and exciting to it? But it's tough, too, because I really do feel like the iPad Pro is so good. And the form factor, as both of you have said, is just so darn perfect to me. I'm almost scared to see an update because I almost wonder if they would mess with a good thing.
Yeah, I mean, the iPad Pro has been on an 18-month cycle basically its whole life since 2015, yeah. Since the first one. So it's due in the spring, and you know, I think they will continue to walk down the path that they laid out in 2018. And again, I think we're all hoping that the iPhone follows suit because that would just be so sick to have an iPhone with those edges. Let's shift gears a little bit and talk about sort of the tech industry as a broader scene. I mean, we focus on Apple in a lot of our shows, but Apple does play within an ecosystem with Amazon and Google and Microsoft. And for me, I hope that 2020 and beyond, you know, these companies are going to be facing increased regulatory pressure in Europe and in the US, depending on how the elections go. And I think that there's a reckoning coming for some of these companies as far as privacy and data security. And companies like Facebook, I think, have some real answering to do, but that will affect Apple in one way or another. And I wonder if that sort of potential future has any, does it concern you? Or are you excited about it? Like, how do you feel about what could be coming down the road for Silicon Valley?
So for me, I feel like there's a couple of different avenues here, and I think you've touched on most of them. First of all, I want to see an increased interest in privacy, both in terms of companies providing more privacy controls, and also I think consumers need to be more serious about privacy. And that's inclusive of me, too. I think there's times when I should be more concerned about my privacy, and I'm not. Another thing that I've been thinking about a lot ever since that ridiculous working group came together, what was it, like Chips or Choips or something like that, the thing for HomeKit and the Amazon Tube, I almost said the wrong word there, that consortium that says they're all going to come together and bring a common like interface that developers, that hardware vendors can can build against so that your Amazon tube and your Apple tube and all your other tubes can all talk to all of your, you know, Internet of Things devices easily.
Connected home over IP is the name of the group.
Choi. It's so obvious. It rolls right off the tongue. So anyway, I want to see more of that. Like, I understand that everyone needs to create their own little fiefdom and do their own little thing and create lock-in and so on and so forth. But I'd really like to see, either by force of, you know, regulation or by some other means, I want to see these companies start to work together a little better. And then I presume I'm stealing somebody's thunder, probably Alex on this one, but it would be really neat if social networks actually gave a crap about like harassment and stuff like that. That would be cool. It's 2020 now. We can start concentrating on that, right?
I mean, I just read a thing this morning about maybe on Recode, the CEO of Pinterest talking about how they just took the search vaccine away from all hosts except, or all poster companies except, like, the National Health Organization, because people were looking for alternative vaccines on Pinterest, and they just realized, oh, we have the power to not let people do this. You know, free speech is in the Constitution, not on our website. So, I mean, with Facebook slowly, it feels like the Titanic at this point. It's going to go down, but it's going to take a long time, and it's going to take a lot of people with it. And Twitter has made some headway with the not running political ads, but, you know, there's still not great people there. It's sort of like I'm hoping for someone to create the show Silicon Valley. No huge spoilers, but I just hope things become a little less centralized. I want more Instagram stories, close friends features, but across all of the digital neighborhoods I live in.
Oh, that's a good way of putting it. Because Instagram stories, especially close friends, is so refreshing. And I know that Instagram is a part of Facebook, and Facebook seems to be pretty much unequivocally evil these days. But I feel like stories, and in particular close friends stories, is so good. And it allows you to get all of the perks of a well-designed, easy-to-use app, but only share it with people who, you know, aren't going to light you up unless you really, really deserve it, you know? And so I didn't even think about that, Alex, but I'm glad you brought it up, because I think that's a very good example of this sort of thing done right.
Yeah, Facebook has spoken about that, how they want to move Facebook, you know, from the newsfeed more into small groups. And I'm not on Facebook, so I don't know if they're actually doing that or not. But I think there is a real hunger for that, because so much of communicating with friends or people we know on the internet is public, right? Even if you don't have like a big following, you know, friends of friends will see it, mutual friends will see it, and it has become difficult to use these services in a private way. And to sort of wrap the section up, the private means two things, right? It means that bystanders don't see it, and that the companies don't see it, that it's either encrypted or somehow protected from snooping eyes. And I think that Instagram stories for friends is a huge example of this. And I mean, I know that the people I follow on Instagram, lots of people use it, you know, for family stuff or just friends, or, you know, things they just don't want in the wider world. And they wouldn't be able to share that otherwise. So it is empowering in a way, but I think it's got to be done correctly. I think Instagram has done a good job of it. And, you know, what would it look like for Twitter or these other services to do similar things? I think it could be really interesting. Not that Twitter's going to survive the decade, but, you know.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. That they've held on longer than I thought they would. So what about sort of on the personal level? Are there things that we want to focus on this year or in the coming years to be better nerds?
I mean, I've gotten really into a Mac again, because I recently just caved. You guys helped my boss cave in and get me an iMac Pro. And I will say, I didn't realize how dire the software situation was on macOS until I had a computer that could run software Like it runs Catalina, okay. But before my laptop would just, you know, die every time I opened Spotlight. But now I've gotten really into more third-party stuff again. Like, I think because of Shortcuts, actually, I've gone back to Launch Bar. And doing stuff with the new Mac version of Drafts, and even playing with Automator again. And I don't know, I really like having one machine that is sort of my central hub where, okay, everything lives here. I don't need to, I have 4 terabytes, so I don't yet have to put my photos in a different place. And if it's I don't need to work off a hard drive for when I'm working in Final Cut Pro. I don't need to use proxy media. It's awesome. So along with that, personally, I guess I am looking forward to having a decentralized, while computing for me will still be decentralized, it's kind of nice having sort of a home base, I guess, and it feels like I'm more in control of my data in the way that I think, because of the past few years of Facebook and all of these privacy issues, just kind of always clawing towards, okay, I want some sort of agency. Maybe it's in my mind, I felt the same way about hardware, where it's like, okay, yes, this is the thing I'm going to hold on to for, well, in my head, I'm like, all right, I'm going to hold on to this piece of hardware for years and years, and maybe get a new phone every few years or a new laptop every few years. Because I know that Apple wants us to buy things all the time, but I don't think the Mac Pro is going to be updated super off, or rather I should say, like, you know, Steven, I don't think you're going to be buying a Mac Pro next year. Well, who's to say?
Well, no. It is Steven, you never know.
Yeah, no. So what am I saying? But I don't know, just more agency over my own stuff in general, I guess.
I think that makes a lot of sense. For me, something I've really wanted to play with, and I haven't really had an excuse yet, is a Raspberry Pi. I've talked about this on and off in the past, and I just really think that the Raspberry Pi is a fascinating and interesting device. And if you're not familiar, it's basically like an itty-bitty PC, both in terms of like specs and in terms of physical size and how much power it draws, etc. And so something that I'd like to do this year is try to find an excuse to get a Raspberry Pi and start using it. I have a couple in mind. I've been dabbling with Pi-hole, which is basically an ad blocker that you can run on your entire network. So it's like an ad blocker for your house. And I've dabbled with it on my Synology in a Docker container. And for uninteresting reasons, that's kind of stopped working recently. And I think that putting it on its own dedicated hardware might help that situation. I've also been running Homebridge on a Docker container on my Synology, and that also works mostly, but I kind of wonder if I had a physical device for it, would that go better, work better, etc. So I really want to just find a good reason. I think I've got some reasons I just have to execute to try one or more Raspberry Pis. Next thing you know, I'll have like a office full of them. I'll have rack mounted these little itty bitty Raspberry Pis or something. But anyways, just for today, I just want one, and I just want to have a good use for it. But what about you, Steven?
You know, I've thought about this, and one thing I would like to do do better in 2020 and beyond is have some more restrictions on how I spend my time with technology. So, you know, things in iOS like the time restrictions on apps and the screen time reporting, all that stuff. That's all useful stuff. I want to be more in tune with that and just how I spend my time on things like social media. And I've dialed that back a bit. I look to continue to dial that back. And those tools I feel like can be helpful, but ultimately you have to make the decision to either look at Twitter or not. And those tools can just be helpful in that they can't do it for you necessarily. And so that's one thing that I continue to think about and sort of assess and address as time goes on. I think the other thing for me is sort of related to what Alex said of having, you know, sort of everything in one place. with the Mac Pro, I've sort of been able to reassess like my data management because I have a lot of stuff and sort of sorting through how I need to manage that. And that's sort of an ongoing process as far as what I keep and what I don't, and sort of cleaning up some of that stuff, just sort of some housekeeping. But I think the big thing for me, and I don't really know where this goes yet, so it's sort of open-ended, but technology for me, like the Mac, has moved from a hobby to a job, and that's fine. Like, I'm not complaining about that by any means. It's incredible that I get to talk about the computers I like so much for a living. But finding a way to either carve out something in technology as a hobby or find a hobby outside of technology, something I want to look at in 2020 and beyond. And I've thought about, you know, maybe that's really getting back into photography, which is still tech, but, you know, creative, or doing writing just for me, which I did more of in 2019, but want to continue to do more of, just something in that arena where technology can be part of my life that's not part of the 9 to 5, whatever that means. That's very like open-ended and fuzzy at this point, but it's just something that I've been thinking about coming into this year.
So you want to actually have a better relationship with your devices, and I want to have a new device. Got it.
Yeah.
And I just want to, I want to spend more time with devices, but just one. It's like I'm settling down, but I'm still in an unhealthy relationship.
Right.
That's fine. If you do a bunch of rack-mounted Raspberry Pis, though, you got to blog about that. So
that is not the intention, but you never know. We'll see what happens.
You know, in a lot of ways, it feels like this is just going to be more of where we've been until the next thing comes along, right? Like, in a way, 2020 looks a lot like 2015, right? Like, we have the Apple Watch and the iPad, and we have smartphones and all that stuff. And maybe it's AR, maybe it's something else, but whatever it is, I guess we'll be here to talk about it when it comes, which will be exciting.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I mean, it certainly seems, and I think it was Alex that said this earlier, it seems like we're on the precipice of several different very big things happening, much like, you know, when we all thought the iPhone was coming, but it wasn't here yet. And I feel like we're getting to that point in a couple of different fronts, which we've already discussed. And so I'm really excited to see what the next year and even 10 years bring. And I think it could be a really fascinating and exciting time to be a nerd again.
I'm just excited to be able to type 2020 on all of my documents. I stopped using Text Expander for about a week just so I could teach myself, okay, yes, it's 2020, not 2019 or 18 or 17. And along with that, and I guess a more serious note, just figuring out how to talk to people better with technology. And I get it sounds a little bit high horsey, but helping other folks sort of use their devices in a better way, or not a better way, but showing them, yes, you can do this thing with shortcuts, or, oh yeah, your Mac and your phone can talk to each other with handoff sometimes if it works. I think we're also on the edge of things becoming much more accessible and people using their devices in more customizable ways. I hope, anyway.
Well, I appreciate y'all taking some time to join me today.
Oh, the pleasure is all mine.
Thank you, as always, for having me, even when my voice is a little broken.
Well, go check out the shows that these wonderful people are on. You can learn more about them at relay.fm. If you are a Relay FM member, thank you for your support. If you're not, like, it's fine, but this show really is for members. If you're not a member, go check it out at relay.fm/membership. May I suggest Analog and or Roboism to support the work of of two of my friends here. You can find show notes this week in your app of choice or at relay.fm/fusionmembers/30. And until next month, adios.